Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. And we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. We're live out here at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, Predators' first day of training camp. But we've also got a Titans game in just a few days. Titans hitting the road to Cleveland, taking on the Browns on Sunday. And so Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, very dialed into the NFL. He was on with Robbie and Rexrode this morning. And Robbie and Rexrode asked him the question that I think we've all kind of been wondering ourselves is, what the heck is going on with Deshaun Watson? Because the Deshaun Watson that we saw in Houston, I mean, there's a strong argument for him being a top five, top 10 quarterback in the league. So good that he got that massive $230 million guaranteed contract from Cleveland, which I don't care how good you are, that's a ridiculous contract. But anyways, he was a great quarterback when he was with the Texans. He's been lackluster with the Cleveland Browns. So Robbie and Rexrode asked Charles, you know, what's kind of been going on with him? This is what Charles had to say.
You see, he's playing emotionally in a way that I'm not familiar with. He said, I watched a ton of film on him. I remember him, you know, at his best days in Houston. And he said, I'm seeing a guy who the two face mask penalties, the pushing the official to the side, the slamming the ball into the wall after he scores a touchdown, which didn't seem like joy as much as it seemed like just unleashing kind of emotion at that point. You know, he said, look, I think he's playing with kind of an element of negative emotion at times, which is really uncommon and uncharacteristic for him. Everything that happened off the field. And so he said, I don't know if he's being mentally affected by that or what, but he said he is at a state now with Nick Chubb going down. He's going to have to raise the level of that entire team because Chubb was really the focus and he was balancing things out and holding down the fort, you know, while Watson cleaned things up. He said, that's gone.
So that was an evaluation from an NFL general manager that shared that with Charles Robinson. It says, Deshaun's been playing with a, quote, negative emotional energy. Now, Demis, you watched the film. Mm-hmm. We watched the tape in that Steelers game. What have you seen from Deshaun, and what does that mean exactly?
I see a guy that is playing at a different pace than everyone else, and it's not good. Usually when you say that, you mean you're illustrating that a guy is playing faster than everyone else. He's playing at a different pace or a different level than everyone else. So typically it's a good thing, but in this situation it's a bad thing. It seems like he's playing slower than everybody else. I know you want the game from a mental standpoint to slow down for you, but it just seems like mentally, physically, emotionally, he just and what people don't understand, I think, is it started before he even got to Cleveland. These are things that I saw, you know, at moments in the game with Deshaun Watson. Like, dude, you just don't seem like you have any energy. You don't seem like you're in tune mentally with the game and what's going on. It seems like everybody else is tapped in and you're unplugged. You're just playing, you're just sort of, you know what's going on, but you just, for whatever reason, you're not playing at the pace you need to play at as a quarterback. So this happened before Houston, I mean, before Cleveland. I think it's multiplied now. It could be the stuff that happened in the off the field, and then him not being able to play the first 11 games of the season, a new offense, new weapons. It could be all of that. But this is something that has occurred prior to all of that. So I'm trying to figure out, can he come out of this as a quarterback, or will this be who he is moving forward? And if this is who he is moving forward, Cleveland is in bad shape because there's nothing they can do with this contract unless he does something that voids it out. But if they're just talking about his play, there's nothing they can do about it. They're stuck with this contract. You can't bench him. Because then it tells everybody you failed as a GM, as a management. You failed and gave this guy all this money, and now he's come in and he's playing below average. That's what he is. He's playing below average. When you ask me, who would I take, Ryan Tannehill or Deshaun Watson? I take Ryan Tannehill all day, every day, because Deshaun is not playing at a pace that your quarterback needs to play. He's reading things too slow out there. It's like he sees it, but he doesn't throw it. It's like his mind, everything is going fast and his mind isn't. Behind the throw passes, guys wide open, you're throwing 30 yards over them, out of bounds. It's weird to see. And I know Cleveland fans are just scratching their heads like, what's going on? Now, he will make some plays too. Like, you will see glimpses of the Deshaun Watson in Houston before all this stuff happened. But you don't see many of them. And I think throwing a ball against the wall, I think that had more so to do with who the team is, the rivalry. He had already, you know, he had threw a pick six. Well, it really wasn't his fault, but he's going to get blamed for it. Threw a pick six at first play of the game. Then he comes back later on in the game. Wasn't his fault. The left tackle gets beat. It was a right tackle. Right tackle gets beat. The guy knocks it out of his hand, scoop and score Bosa for a touchdown. That's just frustration. I think finally getting an end zone, he's frustrated that the team is not moving the ball. He's frustrated he's not playing well. He even said he didn't play well. He said this, I played like you know what, and I got to get better. Well, how do you get better? How? You lost your best running back. You lost the best player on your team. You just lost him. Now we see where this team goes. But this is a team that loves to line up at three wide receiver sets. It seemed like every play was three wide. That's their base. It seemed like that's their base offense.
So what does that mean for the Titans defensively?
Titans defensively, they're going to have to – the Titans are going to have to figure out how to generate a pass rush without blitzing. Cleveland had a problem at times with blitz. Their front five. They're a good offensive line. They're not great. They lost Jack Conklin. That was a big loss to them.
And they felt it. There's been a lot of quarterback pressures in the first two games.
And if you blitz them the right way, they're going to block a four-man front. They're good enough to block a four-man front. I think still, you know, on the number 71, so that would be on the left side, you can get a bull rush on him. Sort of like Dillard, you can get a bull rush. You can get a bull rush on number 71.
Because it's Conklin's backup.
Yeah. Conklin's backup. Now, big 79, that's a big joker. He's 6'8". 300 and something pounds, damn near 400 pounds.
He's on the right side.
But because he's so big, he does get beat with a speed rush every once in a while. But when he gets his massive hands on you, it's pretty much a wrap. The interior of the offensive line is solid. But again, if you blitz them in a way, it confuses them. If you're talking about getting a pass rush with four people, it's going to be tough with that offensive line. The Titans are going to have to systematically or strategically do blitz, zone blitzes, twists and stunts to try to confuse that offensive line. They did get confused at times against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was able to put pressure on Deshaun Watson. Some of that pressure, I think Deshaun Watson left the pocket a little bit early, but it was pressure nonetheless. So you can, it's not like a massive line. It's not Philadelphia's offensive line where – that's just a brick wall. They're good, but you can get pressure on this team in regards to their offensive line. So that's from a offensive standpoint. Defensive standpoint.
Let's get into the defense on the other side. Plus, what Charles Robinson said, no Nick Chubb puts more responsibility on Deshaun in the offensive line. Is that a good thing for the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as we approach week 4 of college football and week 3 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picked is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rexford this morning. He said a GM told him that Deshaun Watson's been playing with a, quote, negative emotional energy. And DeMays, you've been watching the tape, said, just looks like there's just a disconnect there.
Yeah, it just seems like, and I don't know how Stefanski fixes that. You know, you don't want to try to go in and tweak much of what he's doing because, you know, obviously, from a mechanic standpoint, you know, he's been doing this all his life, you know, since he's been a quarterback, at least at the college and pro level. So you don't want to change anything from that standpoint, but you got to get him to be more energetic. Mm-hmm. Sense of urgency needs to be there a little bit more.
I mean, if $230 million doesn't make you energized, I don't know what will.
But you
think that's a burden, though? I think it would. With everything else that's going with that, all of the attention paid to that, and then on top of that, he had all those other issues. I just wonder what the weight of that is doing to him mentally.
It could. You know, sometimes, listen, when you ask for things like that, and I'm a firm believer of this. When you ask for it, you better be ready to receive it. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know everything that comes with it. People always scream like, well, if I had this or if I had this amount of money, why is that person so unhappy? If I had that much amount of money, I'd be so happy. Be careful, because it doesn't always bring what you think it's going to bring with it. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think right now, it could be Deshaun Watson is not happy. He's not happy. And it's the, you know, quarterbacks know that the weight of the franchise is on them. Quarterbacks know that. As soon as they are named a starter, it's on your shoulders. If you're that guy, it's on your shoulders. But I think it's equally as sort of stressful for him, because it's on his shoulders. It's guaranteed. Everybody's watching him. The stuff that happened prior to him coming to Cleveland.
And everyone is probably rooting for your demise.
Exactly. Everybody's rooting against you. And you don't know how to handle this. You don't. So he could be, I don't know, he could be going, this is what he wanted. And maybe he's thinking like, man, maybe I really did want all that comes with 230 guaranteed. Now, some guys can handle it. Mm-hmm. Some guys, it doesn't matter to them. But I think some guys, when they get it, they like the money, but they don't like the responsibility, or they can't handle the responsibility that comes with it.
I also wonder about the stuff, the case.
Yeah.
The 25 women, the civil suit. And here's where I'm coming from on that. I don't pretend to know what the weight of that is like, or the toll that took on him, all of the legal stuff, all of the legal fees. That was a long thing. But what I never saw him do, and we've seen some people come back from dark times, right, and almost become a sympathetic mm-hmm. character. Like Tiger Woods would be one, right? Tiger Woods went through hell.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Mike Tyson, Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Those guys went through a tough, dark period mm-hmm. where people were not rooting for them. But there was, and I'd have to go back at each individual, but there was a spilling out of emotions, mm-hmm. I messed up. I have not heard Deshaun Watson really do that. I know there's probably reasons legally. I'm sure there's, you can't say anything, but I think he would do him a lot of good to just kind of say, you know what, I messed up. Because he kind of kept his innocence throughout all that stuff, right?
I'm a big fan.
And he had chances to do that in front of the media. He doesn't talk about it.
He tries to sort of, and I understand this. When it comes at you, you want to try to deflect it as much as you can, because you want to try to focus on the here and now rather than the past. Well, what happened, that past will always follow you no matter where you go. People will forgive you, but it will follow you. I'm a big Dateline guy. I love Dateline. I sit there and watch it all day. And you would be amazed at how many people commit crimes that can completely get away with it, but 10 years later, they end up saying something, or just that guilt ends up getting at them, and they end up, you know, saying something, or the detective will come back and ask them a question. And they just start spilling, not necessarily telling on themselves, they don't think, but they're telling on themselves. Why? Because it's eating them up in the inside, that it just comes out, and they don't even know it comes out. I think, in a sense, that could be this whole Deshaun Watson thing in regards to his play. Like, I'm not saying he's guilty or innocent, but whatever happened is weighing on him so much that it's not coming out verbally. It's coming out mental, like emotional. Mm-hmm. It's coming out from his play, Like, you don't see him as the same guy out there playing that he was in Houston. He doesn't have that sense of urgency, even though I said he didn't have it back in Houston that last year or two. And maybe that's because all that stuff was going on still, and nobody ever said anything about it.
Can he carry this offense without Nick Chubb?
Without Nick Chubb, I think Ford is the backup running back.
Yeah, Gerald Ford, and then
Kareem Hunt.
Brought in Kareem Hunt.
Ford is a good running back. Is he Chubb? No, but he's a good running back. They still stayed true to who they were, even after the injury to Chubb. They still ran the football. They still were three wides. Now, that was in the middle of a game. Now, you can't just scrap the whole playbook and then do something else. I am curious how it looks this game without a Nick Chubb. Do they lean more on Deshaun Watson, or do they stay, you know, true to who they are, run the football, play really good defense, and the quarterback has enough talent that we believe he can win a game if it came down in the last series for us? Maybe that's how they continue to operate. Maybe they don't. But a lot of emphasis now, I think, is going to be really put on Jim Schwartz and that defense. That's a really good defense. They can be beat. It's not like they're the vaunted 85 Bears or the 99 Titans or the 2000 Ravens or even later than that, the Seattle Legion of Boom. Mm-hmm. They're not that type of defense, but they're good. Up front, they're good. You can get them in the run game. You can. If you hold up, give Tannehill some time, there are open holes in that defense. That defense plays exactly like the Tennessee Titans defense. They will try to get at you with four, only rushing four. They figure they got four pass rushers or five or six coming off the bench, two coming off the bench because they do rotate. They feel they got enough up front to get to you. They may not get the sack, but they put pressure on you to throw an errant pass or throw a pass quicker than what you want to. But if you're able to hold on to the ball with a four-man rush, there's open holes in their secondary. Again, I think their secondary is better than the Titans secondary, but they still can be beat. Ward is their shutdown corner. He's gotten beat. He plays better when he's pressed. When he plays off, he's a little susceptible to catches in front of him. Mm-hmm. They are a bend but don't break defense. They'll try to get the rush up front. They'll blitz every so often. But I haven't seen as many blitzes from a Schwartz team that I'm accustomed to seeing. Schwartz, I guess that was the older Schwartz, and even in Philadelphia, he blitzed a lot to create turnovers. They still blitz, but I don't think they blitz at the rate they used to. Well, Schwartz used to. Maybe he's still learning his defense. This is his first year with that defense. Maybe he's still learning the defense, so he can crank it up some more if he needs to. But this is a fast, physical defense that's going to make you earn every yardage, but they can be beat in the secondary if you hold up.
I'm interested to get a Browns perspective. So Zach Jackson, he covers the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. He'll join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live out here at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue for the Predators' first day of training camp. But the Titans are hitting the road this weekend, taking on the Cleveland Browns. And to join us to break it all down is Zach Jackson. He covers the Browns for The Athletic. Zach, appreciate you for joining us. And one thing that we were just breaking down is the fact that Deshaun Watson in a Browns uniform has not looked like the beginning of Deshaun Watson's career. What's going wrong with Deshaun?
Well, I don't think he's seeing the field. And if he is, he doesn't trust what he sees. So, you know, we've seen glimpses of the talent. And I think up here in Cleveland, you know, we didn't see it all the time like you guys did in Nashville. But, you know, he was a big-time producer, and he was a freelancer, and he was a playmaker. And here he's a guy who takes many sacks, who came with all this baggage, who's really made it awkward for the franchise for a year and a half, and the payoff has been none so far. So the fans are worried. Some are panicked and some are angry. Deshaun just, you know, we interviewed him in the locker room a couple of hours ago. He says it'll come. But, you know, this was supposed to be the year The suspension was out of the way. There was a full offseason. They supposedly upgraded the receiving core. He got to play those last six games last year, and he really did play some of his best drives and best halves. He never put four quarters together late last year. So I kind of expected better, too, and then, you know, thought maybe eventually we'd see. But we've seen just as bad, as if not worse. So to answer your questions from this ramble, it's been a lot of things, but not many of them positive.
No Jack Conklin, no Nick Chubb, losing both of them to injury. What does that mean for Deshaun and his workload?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb was such a get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, I know this won't be a popular opinion in Nashville, but I think he was the best running back in the league. And it's not worth arguing if he wasn't, but so many two-yard Nick Chubb runs turned into four or six or 12. He wore defenses down. He's the ultimate low-maintenance superstar, and you could build an offense around him, even when you were trying to do what the Browns are trying to do, which is open things up and feature Watson. So, you know, the rookie right tackle, DeJuan Jones, played okay last week. Played pretty well, considering he's against T.J. Watt. It's the left tackle, Jedrick Wills, who's been the problem. So every layer of the passing game for the Browns right now has a problem. And, you know, that's the timing, that's the blocking, that's the communication. And so to lose arguably the league's best running back while you're trying to figure things out, it's trouble. I think this game could easily be 13-10 on Sunday.
Now, do you think that because when Nick Chubb goes out, Zach, they still continue to run the football with Ford? And I think Ford's a good running back. He's not Nick Chubb, and not many is Nick Chubb. But
yeah.
They continue to stick with the run game. They were successful at moments in the run game. But do you think they stick with it now that they have to put together a game plan knowing that they won't have Chubb?
Yeah, I think they have to. And I think they're encouraged by Jerome Ford. They said all the right things about him last year and how much they liked him. He just didn't play. He was forced. He was behind D'Ernest Johnson, who's now in Jacksonville, and Kareem Hunt, who's now back because it's an emergency. But, you know, it's not going to be, like you just said, what Nick Chubb was, which was those power runs that he can just extend and move the chains and give everybody a break. So it's going to be some more outside stuff. I think it's going to be a little more throwing to the running back by design. But they have to run the ball, because where they've gotten themselves in trouble is when they have to be in that drop back pass mode. And, you know, they need that for the mystery for a lot of things. They want Watson to run too, but if they can do it and they need to do it, it'll open everything else up.
Now, we know this is the number one ranked defense in the National Football League, but can they continue to carry this Brown team as they start to try to figure life out, life without Nick Chubb out?
Yeah, now this defense can't possibly be as good as it's been, right, because the numbers are outrageous. And the time of possession has been super lopsided for different reasons in these games. But it's a really nasty defense. And it's a combination of Jim Schwartz coming, cleaning up the fundamentals, and implementing a scheme that fits the talent on hand. And really, they've played two quarterbacks that were in tough spots. You know, Joe Burrow clearly with no timing and not at 100%. And then Kenny Pickett, who was just overmatched last week. And he did hit the big one to George Pickens, and it was a rare bust. So, you know, the Browns have to get something out of their offense. And this, you know, opponents will see more from this defense. But when you talk about Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith fresh and locked in and flying off the edge, you know, arguably the top corner trio in the league with Martin Emerson, a rising star, and Denzel Ward, who's been doing it for a long time, and the way Grant Delpit has played in his contract year, yes, this is the best defense right now, and it is good enough to carry them to a certain point. Can it carry them to the playoffs or deep in the playoffs? No. But if there is another gear for Watson in this offense and it's just sputtering right now for whatever reason, then yes. You know, I think the Browns can have the kind of season that the Titans have had a couple times under Vrabel, right, where you win ugly by design, you're fortunate when you do it, and you just rely on your defense week in and week out. Now, what's the ceiling on that? I don't know. But even in just eight quarters, I've seen enough to say this defense is legit.
We're talking to Zach Jackson from The Athletic. We're talking Cleveland Browns as they get ready for the Titans this week. Zach, I'm curious, your first impression of Jim Schwartz, and has he exceeded some expectations in your mind? Because it does look like it's a great fit right away.
Yeah, I think he's exceeded expectations because the numbers aren't just good. It's outrageously good, right? And, you know, one thing I liked, he didn't need this job. He's done it all in this league. He wanted this job. And he didn't come in and say, I'm going to reinvent anything. They went and got him Za'Darius Smith and Okoronkwo, and he said, I'm going to get the most out of Myles Garrett, right? So we've seen so much change here in Cleveland that a lot of times you just see a guy who has a name or has done all these things and likes to talk about how great he is. But it's been business with this group. And I think they have, you know, the guys I mentioned, I think they have some young guys who are hungry to prove themselves. And I think last year they thought they had the talent. They didn't get the people in the right places. You know, it was week 2 last year. They had that epic meltdown where they led the Jets by 2 scores inside the 2-minute warning and didn't win. So, you know, I think some of it is just the natural bounce of the defense knowing that they're a little bit in the right places. But they've been so fast getting there. Now, I will say this. The way to beat them is to run right at them, which the Titans can do, you know, and use the misdirection, the screen game, the quick stuff, which I think the Titans want to do anyway, you know, rather than let it rip. So there's going to be a lot of punts, and there's going to be a lot of negative plays in this game. So who can avoid the penalties, the crippling turnovers, and who can punt it best is going to win. The Browns are not going to come out and just flat out give up 28 points. They're not. They're going to come out, and they're going to try to bring it, you know, to the Titans and put Tannehill in bad spots right away.
Yeah, a little throwback action. We completely agree with how we see this one. Zach, before we let you go, here's one where we don't know the answer. I don't know if anybody does, but we're kicking this around a lot of theories. But Jim Schwartz's familiarity with the Titans, you know, what they're doing defensively, what they've learned from him, and even maybe his understanding of the Titans' offense, what kind of factor do you think that is?
I think it's a factor, but I think each week there's some of that, right? I mean, Vrabel has seen Watson. You know, Vrabel has beaten the Browns. And then last time the Browns were in Nashville, Stefanski's offense sliced them up. Weren't the Browns up like 30 points at one point in that game? So, yeah, I do think it does matter to an extent. But I think there's so much familiarity and that most teams run the same stuff that it's not a huge factor. So the Browns' defense is a huge factor and can be the thing that makes this a tough game for Tennessee to win. But the Browns' offense is so bad right now. I mean, so bad, based on just 8 quarters. It's just September, I know. That just an hour ago, I had to turn in my game prediction, and I'm staring at it going, I don't know. I'll pick 11 to 10 somebody because this is going to be ugly.
11-10. Okay, yeah. Well, the Titans were down 11-0 last week, so they can give up 11. We know that.
Yeah, I think that the old school football buffs are probably salivating over
they
this matchup.
It.
Yeah, yeah. The nouveau riche air raid isn't going to love it too much. But Zach Jackson,
maybe they should play at the old Municipal Stadium, you know, with the mud field, you know, Jim Brown and those guys,
leather helmets.
Yeah,
Zach Jackson, he covers the Browns for the Athletic. Zach, really appreciate you for stopping by. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
All right, thank you.
All right, great. Appreciate Zach Jackson for stopping by. Coming up next, we will preview the Thursday night games, plus the best bets for 49ers Giants. Coming up on the other side, Caroline Willie D. Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, we're live here at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue for the Predators' first day of training camp, and our live coverage from Preds training camp on 102.5 and 106.3. The game is presented by the new Cumberland Development. But we have got a Thursday night football game tonight. Giants hitting the road at the 49ers, and the line does not look very favorable for the New York football Giants. Joining us now to help you place your money on the game tonight is Allie Milnicki, our friend from Zen Sports. Allie, always appreciate your insight every single Thursday. I have to give you credit. I thought you were crazy last week for taking the Vikings +6. But
what is your take tonight? I was a little lucky at the end, but I was a little lucky in that backdoor cover. But I think the game's different if Justin Jefferson doesn't fumble the ball before halftime into the end zone for a touchback. But I will take credit. A win is a win.
Hey, backdoor cover's a cover.
That it is.
So what is your pick tonight? San Francisco now 10.5-point favorites. It's a massive spread, but also the Giants have not looked so hot. What is your best bet for the night?
Well, you're talking to a lifelong diehard Giants fan, so I'm not really looking forward to facing the 49ers without Saquon Barkley, Andrew Thomas, and we have a few other injuries. I'm going to stay away from the spread on this one because I never bet my team, but obviously with all the injuries, I'm going to stick to the under on this game. It just, I think my team's going to have a lot of trouble scoring. Saquon really engineers that offense. We're missing Andrew Thomas. I just don't know how Daniel Jones is going to deal with the pressure. So I'll be safe and just stick with the under.
All right, Allie, you need to teach a little lesson to D-Mace because you made a very calculated, smart move there, not picking with your heart. D-Mace took Michigan State last week thinking, hey, they're going to pull off the upset against Washington, 41-7. So he picked with his heart. He made the mistake.
Well, I should have picked for my heart in those two Super Bowls, but again, I don't bet for my team or bet against my team, and I probably left a lot of money on the board as double-digit underdogs to the Patriots, but that's how it goes. I'll take a win for my team any day.
Absolutely. Now, this weekend, Browns-Titans. Browns are, I think, -3.5. Should we take the points?
This is one I've been toying back and forth with, and I was just talking with my colleague about on our show that's going to air on your station on Sunday. There's just a lot of injuries going on both sides, especially the Browns. We also saw what happened with Nick Chubb on Monday night. His season is done. This is one, though, where I think that the Browns' defense gets the better end of the spectrum in this one. I think they're able to make Ryan Tannehill make mistakes. You saw what he did in the opener against the Saints with all his interceptions. That Browns defense is a very, very, very underrated unit led by Myles Garrett. I think they get enough pressure to make Ryan Tannehill make his mistakes. And it's a tough one because I usually like taking that half point in what I think could be a field goal game. But I'm going to hold my breath inside with the Browns. But I think the better play for me would be the under in this one as well. These teams both seem to struggle to score at times, so I like the under here.
I was just about to ask you about the over-under because we were just discussing this game, how it's two teams who like to run the football and play good defense. Very well could be a single-digit score on both sides of the field. I want to ask about the over-under tonight, Giants and 49ers. Over-under 43.5, not crazy high, but also not crazy low. What do you like here?
Yeah, I'm going with the under in this game as well. It's just the Niners, they can put up points. The Giants' defense has not looked good. You saw what they did in the first half against Arizona, a team that is tanking for Caleb Williams this year in the draft. So I'm going to stick with the under. I just don't see how my team's going to be able to generate points against that 49ers defense, which I think is the best in the NFC. So the Niners will be able to score, but I don't think they're going to put up 43 points by themselves. I'm sticking with the under.
Allie, I have to ask you, as somebody that follows this stuff closely, I saw so much funny or maybe sad commentary back and forth about the crazy play at the end where there was just a couple seconds left in the game and the Rams kicked a field goal. That affected it had nothing to do with the game. The game was over, but it, yep. It changed the line, shall we say. But what was your perspective on that one?
I mean, I had the Rams with the points, so I was a little happy there. I know who they should have just.
So you were okay with that, okay.
In the locker room.
Allie with the backdoor covers.
I know, I've seen that.
So you're like, why is everybody so upset?
That's great. Why I always take points, though. That's why I'm an underdog better. You always have a chance to cover, even in the craziest situations.
Allie Milnicki, your friend over at Zen Sports, we appreciate you for joining us and always appreciate your betting insight. Enjoy the games tonight.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it, Allie. Look, I know it's week 2.
Yeah.
Going into the season, I picked every single game, and I tried to do it with as little bias as possible. I think I had the Giants going maybe 6-11, and I thought, well, what am I doing? They're a playoff team last year. Why would you? Daniel Jones just got the big contract. Why do I not think they're going to win more games? Through 2 weeks, the Giants stink.
I'm not feeling good about having the Giants in my postseason field. I was like, you want to redo that one? But they did get the win last week. And we know that the Cardinals are really not trying to win. It's one of the few teams in the league that would be fine not doing well this year, I think.
They'd
be
fine going 0-17.
I think they would be all right with that. Like Mike Vrabel said, it's a dangerous game to play because it's harder and harder to dig out of that once you go down that road. It's not easy to bounce back all the time. So the Giants had to have that one. The way they came back, I do think, gives them some confidence and belief. But losing Barkley, I'm curious how they try to fill that hole. And I do believe the 49ers are that team. I think they're the real deal.
They're legit.
They're the real deal. It doesn't look like Brock Purdy's having any issues with the arm.
No, it doesn't. They're playing well offensively, defensively. Christian McCaffrey is running the football. It just seems like this could be the year for San Francisco to finally win one. Now, they've been to Super Bowls within the last, 7 years? They've been to two? One or two?
The 2020 Super Bowl.
Yeah. And then they went against when they lost to Baltimore.
The Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, so this finally could be the year that San Francisco puts it all together. Because with them, it's always an injury or two that sort of derails everything or puts them behind the eight ball. If they can stay healthy, I don't know if there's a team in AFC that is capable of beating them. Now, I picked the Lions, and I still am going to go down that road with the Lions. But, man, San Francisco looks good, man. They look really good.
Philadelphia looks good.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Don't we think that there's always some mysteries, especially like a week three? I see like a 2-0 team that's feeling good against an 0-2 team. And you're thinking, oh, they're going to kill that team. And then there's always one or two every year where it's just like, what?
It's
there's
weird.
A desperation from the 0-2 team that comes in there. And the Giants are 1-1. But there's got to be a little bit of urgency, desperation, and maybe not as much for the 49ers. I mean, everybody's picking the 49ers in this game. Nobody's picking the Giants. That scares me a little bit if you want to go with the flow.
I just want a good game.
I'm rooting for a good game.
Like,
yes.
The last 2 weeks in primetime slots, we have gotten some stinkers.
Yeah.
Cowboys blowing the Giants out in week one. Last week, brutal. I mean, the Steelers-Browns game was just a weird game. Like, it was a funky game. It was a game that kept you intrigued. So that was not a bad one. But I feel like even dating back to last year, Thursday night games have just been
snooze fest.
What is the over-under on nostalgic NFL films clips of Bill Walsh versus Bill Parcells and Montana versus Phil Sims, LT?
We should say
We're gonna have some of those.
We should have five.
How many of those
over-under
are gonna be?
I was going to say 3.5.
Five?
I'm sure we'll see.
Three and a half?
I'll set it at 4.5.
This is an early ticket to the bank. Are we going to see
right.
that? Yeah. You know it's coming.
Oh,
you know
of
it's
course.
Coming. Mark Bavaro.
How many times do you think they show the old candlestick?
The old candlestick. Well, you're gonna see the hit, the Jim Burt hit on Joe Montana. The ball comes free.
Yeah.
The Giants Stadium when they beat him. I mean, they just had so many great matchups in the playoffs.
Oh,
and
it was
balanced. In the 80s, I mean, those were two great teams. A lot of the same guys. Different DNA. You know, the physicality, the nastiness of Parcells and the Bill Walsh brilliance of the West Coast offense and stuff. It was a great rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
So I would do it, too. I'm looking forward to it tonight. But so I want to see how many clips we'll see. We're going to see LT a few times tonight.
I just hope Jeff Bezos starts getting his money's worth for that multi-billion-dollar contract that he got with the NFL and Amazon Prime. Because that's the reason why – I guess not the reason why, but it was a wink-wink, you know, nudge-nudge kind of reason why the NFL changed the Thursday night rules. Not every team needs to play a Thursday night football game, probably because Amazon was looking back at the past year and saying, wow, that Broncos-Colts game, nobody watched it because it was awful.
It was ugly.
Not very often do I feel bad for Jeff Bezos, but this is one where I'm hoping that he gets a little bit more bang for his buck. But it's going to be a blast of a game tonight. Giants 49ers. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. previewing Titans at the Browns. Stillman and Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.